Baghdad, August 21st. Maximum alert at the French embassy. These men are the first line of defense. They have no faces or names, and are forbidden from indicating their unit. For the first time in 20 years, a French foreign minister is visiting Iraq. I am the only one authorized to film Bernard Kouchner's trip.
Average?
This is where I meet Jean-François Giraud, the French ambassador, here on the left. We are in your country. In your country, minister? Yes, in our country. Exceptional visit for a minister, but routine for the men of the Ecuador. They have never deserted Baghdad. All the same, in Fort de France, Baghdad. On the roof of the embassy, Alexandre Garcia, the first secretary, is concerned about housekeeping. A specialist in crisis situations, but for this type of unforeseen event, no key to a manual offers solutions. With 50 degrees Celsius or 55 degrees Celsius in the sun, the bags get holes, crystallize, and end up getting holes. And so we have to change almost all of them, redo them, even though we changed them not long ago. Here we have spent $5,000 for dollars worth of sandbags that we just paid. And normally it's covered by a warranty, but we're not going to pay again. But, well. Even if the daily life of this embassy is anything but ordinary, we keep up appearances. The protocol of the Golden Kid remains immutable. Sir, it's time. 9:30 sharp, the sacred meeting in the ambassador's office begins. Everyone here present is specialists in their field with somewhat unusual CVs. Freak Schmutz, the consul of the very recent post in Sierra Leone, Algeria. Sylvain Fourier, the polyglot. He speaks five languages, an expert on Iran, and is a must-see here. Alexandre Garcia, number two, is also a security officer. Finally, Jean-François Giraud, the boss. He is in his 50s and has had a career in the Arab world, particularly in Syria. 20 years ago, he was already the first counselor in Baghdad.
Availability. Listen, for security reasons, the embassy's staff has been limited to the essentials obtained from the expectations and interests of our authorities from, our perception and knowledge of the situation in Iraq. It's true that it's a bit tight, but we're trying to cope.
These four men are the only ones representing France in Iraq. At each meeting, we review the local press. It's one of the missions assigned to the embassy to keep an eye on the Iraqi street. Three times a day, their telegram informs Paris of the latest developments.
Essentially, this is the first time that President Boucher has mentioned the possibility of a withdrawal of American troops.
There you have it. Very good.
Here, everyone makes do with the means at hand, in war as in war.
In the past, my ambassador had his secretariat here 20 years ago.
In this office, there was the secretary to the ambassador and the secretary to the first counselor. Well, this is an empty office that we occupy since we provide our own secretariat so that the ambassador can make his photocopies, send his faxes, and shred confidential documents himself.
Fortunately, I have not had the opportunity to put on this heavy vest that would be worn in the event of intensive bombing of the embassy. So when we travel, we use bulletproof vests that are much more suitable for a suit and tie. I knew when I arrived here that I wouldn't be able to show you one of the most essential missions that France is carrying out in Iraq intelligence. This is handled by secret agents from the DSC. The only ones who go into the field, the only ones who can meet all the factions in the country. A car bomb has just exploded 1 kilometer from the embassy. Every day, an attack of this type sows death in the capital. The embassy's security teams are obsessed with suicide attacks. The means of defense against them remain very rudimentary.
And so these walls are there to protect against attacks?
Yes, they are explosion-proof walls. We call them tall walls in our jargon. So they are about 4 meters. It's 3 meters, 80 high, and 2 meters wide, and they have been installed on the street, on the roadway. It's a real business here in Baghdad. You should know that each DC dollars, each section measuring 2 meters by 3 meters is worth around $600 to $800. So you can imagine what that could represent over 30 meters, 40 meters. If the reinforced concrete walls protect against car bombs, the worst has been planned for. The last resort is in the basement. Alexandra Garcia shows me the ultimate shelter, the safety room as he calls it here, a sort of bunker. So here is the safety room, which is a security room. So in the event of a really extreme and critical situation, you have to say it. It's armored, the structures are reinforced, and we can hold out there in the event of an assault on the embassy. So there's no light. Wait, I'm gonna turn it on. I don't know if you'll see anything. There you go. So a bench, it's Spartan, you know, a bench. Mineral water reserves. And there you go. So we sit there, we wait for this to happen. The only problem here, of course, is that if we are here, it means that the situation is already serious enough. On the street in front of the embassy, the bodyguards are preparing for their mission for the day. Escort Jean-Francois Giraud into Baghdad. Close the door, please. The other one, too. I told you to close both doors. And for me, the same instruction don't show anything that could reveal the security arrangements. Even the cars here must remain anonymous.
We check our cars to make sure there is no terrorist, so to speak, who has planted a bomb on the car. And then we bomb the car because we feel that in the middle of the red zone, a physical check of the cars is necessary before each mission starts.
That is the condition during our security phase. We have plenty of mechanics at our disposal, so of course repairs are done at our level. And then, so to speak, it's the system for us to make it a question of leaving the cars with anyone. Today, the ambassador has a meeting with his Italian counterpart. Each time he goes out, he has a well-oiled system, an armored car, satellite communications, and a radio jammer.
Hello, how are you?
And if these measures fail, these elite troops have orders to fight to the last to protect the representative of France. The convoy is now in the middle of the city. Danger can strike anywhere at any time. The streets of Baghdad, the survival time of a Westerner left unprotected is 12 minutes. First target in Iraq is American patrols. To ward off a suicide attack, every time they move, the US convoys block traffic and the American soldiers do not hesitate to shoot on sight if a car gets too close. But the nightmare of the French bodyguards remains the monstrous traffic jams in Baghdad. When the car stops, the ambassador's car is in danger.
Are you worried when you go out like that?
There is a risk for both Iraqis and diplomats. Now, it's true that you are better protected in an armored car, but as we saw in Lebanon in particular, it can't withstand a major attack.
Too many people on this bridge. Too much activity. The car has to leave as quickly as possible, and the driver gets out of the way as best he can.
So here, we are on the right bank of the Tigris. We go along the green zone on the left to the right of the Iranian embassy. The embassy that counts in Iraq. My very active colleague.
The famous green zone of Baghdad. Its access is very strict. Once inside, we discover a real city within the city of almost 500 hectares. Here, the Americans and their allies have created in miniature the Iraq of their dreams.
It's still a much quieter bubble where you can go out at night. The curfew rules that we have in the red zone don't apply. So there's a social life, there are a few shops, people see each other.
France is in the red zone, Italy is in the green zone. Unlike Paris, Rome sent troops to Iraq. These diplomats are now prime targets. So they live under these mortar shelters. Mauricio, how are you? This magnificent animal is yours. Even under the bombs, diplomacy retains its codes and etiquette.
I came back during the
Italian ambassador's reception room, which is located under this makeshift tent. It makes me happy. You're the first colleague I've seen again.
Even under the tent, you can still see Italian elegance.
Yes, in fact, it's a bit of a tidy elegance, huh?
You see, the position in Baghdad is important, but at the same time, of course, very difficult. And I must say that there were a number of candidates when I was appointed to come here.
Diplomats are called upon to be at the forefront of these crises, and I believe that this is of great interest today. Aside from the daily violence, there are institutions in Iraq. There is an active president, a government, a parliament. And so we have interlocutors. We are not in the middle of a wild jungle. We are in a country that is at war with itself, that is seeking national reconciliation. And Italy and France, important members of the European Union, I believe, can contribute very, very usefully, very, very actively to the solution of this crisis.
I am asked to leave. Their one-on-one meeting will last an hour and a half.
Absolutely.
Back to the French embassy after the stress of the day. Evenings that are all the same.
Time is not 36 for us. It's our gym. It's a bit more friendly atmosphere, sometimes spending money. And what we have among ourselves, that's our sport. That's good for the mind, that's it. Sweating, working out, that's it.
In the street,
there, you have a gym. Gyms.
And in the 70s, it was Arnold Charles who came to this gym.
In Baghdad.
In Baghdad.
We were able to stop by and get some of this gym. And at the same time, we got some posters of Arnold Sharonia.
In the rooms, basic comfort, but it's the only place where men can let their guard down for a few hours.
But it's hard to be away from loved ones sometimes.
It's harder for the family, who sometimes have to go about their daily lives alone at home or with the children in the evening, rather than us, who are actually at work and immersed in it from morning to night.
When people watch TV in France, it's true that they only see the attacks.
You always tell your family where you're going or not?
I mostly tell one person. I'm limiting the number of people regarding my destination, maybe add or less than all.
No, sometimes it's better not to know.
At the French embassy, there's the extraordinary mission. There's also day-to-day business, like the visa service. Between 8 a.m. and noon, Frederick Schmutz, the consul, issues the precious passports for 1,000 visas last year. But in Baghdad, to complete the formalities, we're asked to stay outside. The embassy asked me to protect the identity of this father and his son. Like the others, when they come here, they put their lives in danger. Most come to get business visas. Very few come to apply for asylum. This father, for example, is a businessman. He wants to go to France to meet suppliers, but that's not the only purpose of his visit.
Of course, we've processed the gentleman's file.
He's very well known to our sales department, so that doesn't pose any particular problem. But my problem comes from his other daughter. So someone.
Because we're really having trouble reconciling your son's profession as a pianist with the purpose of the invitation.
I'm now 70 years old, and I would really like my sons to accompany me on this trip. Look, that was in 1979. That's the last time I was able to take my children on a pilgrimage to Lourdes. And we haven't been able to go back since. You a Christian? Yes, I'm a Catholic Christian. Finally, the family will be able to make their pilgrimage to Lourdes. Important day for the ambassador. Good news in Iraq is rare. Today, a small victory. The French Cultural Center must reopen. Still, this determination to maintain a blue, white, and red presence in Baghdad at all costs. Today, it is the only Western Cultural Center still operating. Last June, it had to close. Too much violence, too dangerous for the teachers, all Iraqis. Too much risk for their students.
Hello.
How are you?
So are you the one who went to France?
Yeah.
Every year, the embassy brings 10 Iraqi students to France. The 10 best in French.
She is the mother of the...
This woman accompanied this group to Paris.
Are you having a coffee, a tea, or something? A coffee.
Can you?
It's your first time in Paris?
Yes. Yes.
What did you see? For example, the Tour Eiffel.
Yes. Yes.
Good morning, Andy.
There, the Louvre Museum, where
they did everything they could to go to the cinema.
And it was their first time because they had never been to the cinema in their lives.
And what film did you see? Which film?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
For them, was it a breath of freedom or not?
Oh yes, a discovery. They saw normal life. Here, we don't have a normal life. And then they realized more when they got home. And I called them.
So how are you?
They said to me, yes, ma'am. Where we were and where we are now.
And they noticed the difference anyway.
We can go to the restaurant, to the market in the street, to the street, in the street.
An experience.
Freedom.
Yes, freedom.
These young people are Shiites or Sunnis, and for the time of a trip to Paris, none of that mattered so much anymore. They were able to forget the religious war ravaging their country.
They didn't know each other, and they were laughing, talking together, going out, and I admired that. And I said to myself again, my God, there are people in Iraq who believe in Iraq, in unity. It was truly an extraordinary example.
You are Muslims, is that right?
Were you happy in Baghdad?
I am saddened to see the violence in this country, but we are here to offer our helping hand. But diverse Iraq is a beautiful, great country.
A beautiful country, but today in agony. When he returned to Baghdad 20 years after his first visit, Jean-François Giraud did not recognize his city. Back then, the streets were full of life. Today, everything is closed, walled up, destroyed. For the ambassador, all is not lost. At least that's what he wants to show me. He takes me to the French residence. This is where he would live in peacetime. But in Baghdad, we are still far from that.
It is a bit dangerous for you to be on the chart.
Oh, it is a bit dangerous if I were to stay there for more than a few minutes.
With these 2,000 square meters of meticulously maintained property, France wants to show Iraq that it still believes in its future and that the past can be reborn.
So this space is a very beautiful garden space for receptions. I remember 20 years ago, we used to have Bastille Day celebrations there, and it was full of guests.
So this is where you should live normally.
So this is where the ambassador should live. It is a reception area. You see that the ministry completely restored and refurnished it after the looting in 2003. Everything had been taken. The electrical wiring, the doors, the air conditioning units, absolutely nothing was left at Roma. And it's true that it's sometimes useful to have a good loot, to have a restoration of one's residence. And the Cadors, as you can see, did that very well. So here you have the silverware of the Republic, which is ready for anyone to serve with. You see the sauce dishes in all these colors. These are the plates, there they are. And you have the traditional porcelain service. This is the silverware of the Republic with the bonbons. This is the bon savoir, with the monogram. You discovered Christophe as an
ambassador. Receptions and things like that are part of the life of an ambassador. Do you miss them?
Well, it's part of the job. That is to say, the meal, lunch, dinner, reception is a time of work, a time of conviviality, a time of relationship. Yeah, which is very important in diplomatic life. Literature has sometimes shown caricatures of it, but today in the West, as in the East, it is still real moments of work, real moments of contact, understanding, and hospitality.
So that's a bit lacking here.
It's quite sorely lacking, but let's hope it's only temporary.
That's an explosion.
Yes, it must be a mortar launch. We learn to recognize mortars, car bombs, and aircraft fire quickly here. The problem with these American helicopters is that they drop small squares of incandescent metal as soon as they land. So it falls everywhere and gets stuck in the bottom of the pool, leaving horrible marks.
One swims in this turquoise water, but like everything else, the pool has symbolic value. A sign that France has confidence in the future of Iraq and that life can resume at any time. Here, as elsewhere, France has its place to uphold. And Jean-François Giraud is the guarantor of that.
Yes, it was the residence's piano, a British-made baby grand piano that was never very good. And yet, so during the looting in 2003, people took the feet, the brass pedals, and the lid and threw it into the garden.
The only music today is that the
a song we can do without very well.
Back to our quarters in the Chancellery.
Always with the hope of one day being able to move into this house.
There, gentlemen.
Change of scenery. The ambassador returns to his world.
Go from one place to another, it's...
There's a series. It's a bit like in prisons.
There are watertight doors, not so that we're afraid of escaping, but to protect us.
And so we enter our villa. It's a bit like a loft. It's tastefully done. It's small but pleasant. There you have it.
What does the piano represent to you?
It represents my daily recreation, the opportunity to escape for half an hour. 15 minutes every day. Yeah. During the next 2 years of his stay in Baghdad, the ambassador will continue to represent France with his style, his composure, and his diplomatic delicacy.